I have a friend who used to work for a company that would be like a competitor to Shutterfly or one of those, like, print your photo on a t-shirt, a coffee mug, a mouse pad, right?
Okay.
And he's pretty well steeped in the industry. And I don't know how this came up, but he said that maybe we're talking about AI or something. I don't know. But he was talking about how, like, you do have to screen the images and things that are sent. And at the end of the day, like, even if you run it through machine, like, somebody has to kind of, like, flag if there are inappropriate things.
A couple dick pics,
like,
are getting through.
You know, like, oh, dick pics are getting through. And he's like, oh, no, I forget. He's like, depending on the, like, event, if it's, like, Valentine's Day, he's like, our policy for the company that he worked, he's like, we allowed that. He's like, you know, 40% of the traffic was, like, you know, boudoir kind of, like, dick pics. But he said, not just with his company, but industry-wide, a number greater than zero but less than 10, like, ones of these scenarios happen per year where the authorities are alerted because somebody's murdered body is being printed. And people, he said, like, 1 to 3 people get arrested each year because they order, you know, a coffee mug with their murder victim.
Wow.
On.
The 2023 murder of my neighbor Ted commemorative t-shirt. Mm-hmm.
World's best
put
murder.
Exactly.
Put it on a mug.
Fuck you, Ted. I'm going to kill you and put you on a can koozie.
Does, like, a little paperclip pop up and be like, so I noticed you uploaded a picture called murder.jpg.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Murder.thatIcommitted.jpg.
Yeah. And you replaced it with actual murder.png. Sorry, we can't do transparency.
Putting my murder on a throw pillow was the best idea ever.
The cops come in and you're sipping coffee out of the mug. You're like, what do you mean I killed him?
Mm-hmm. It's you next to the body with a thumbs up and a gun in your hand.
This could be any murder that I committed.
You know, it's this specific one.
Well, guys, it happened again. Was it about a month or so ago? You might recall we did an episode on, like, quack medical history, you know, crazy things doctors be doing in the past.
Doctors be cutting. You can't stop a doctor from cutting.
Well, flooded the damn inbox again. I don't know if it's a sump pump issue or what's going on, but the inbox is flooded.
Need a French drain.
We got to get that sump pump looked at.
I got to get ServPro in here.
Matt, if it's not the sump pump, then we might have to be like, it might be between us and the street, and they're going to have to dig up the front yard.
Oh, God. Damn. Let's hope
it's
not.
It's going to run us an arm and a leg, this freaking inbox.
Told you guys not to install it.
Every time we do an episode on quack medicine, I swear, there's a picture of our inbox on the front cover of USA Today, an aerial photo of the inbox just swamped.
God.
The fans love it. You, Little Captain Travis, that's you, our fans, just you fucking love these episodes. So we're, you know what? We are beholden to your demands. You want more? We're going to give it to you. We get email after email. How can I expel the foul humors? How much bloodletting is not enough bloodletting? And what should I be sticking up my ass to energize the endocrine system? Well, Little Cap, I didn't want to do it. You know, maybe we could. Is it too late, do you think, to take out, like, flood insurance on the inbox? Like, do you think by recording this conversation we will be incriminating? This is a. From a legal standpoint, can we do that?
Matt, if I were you, I would print your admission of guilt on a mug. That is the standard way to confess to a crime.
We're doing another one, folks. Back by popular demand, this is going to be an episode about quack remedies, but also just kind of like medical history. You know, the further back you go, the crazier shit sounds. Although what hopefully you also kind of take away from these episodes is a lot of this crazy shit still happens today, but it's just a matter. You know, it's like the thing where you're like, you watch a commercial from the 80s or something, or maybe it's a commercial for kids. You're like, those dum-dums. I can't believe those commercials worked on them. And then,
yeah.
You know, instantly you're rushing out to buy the thing that you saw on Instagram or whatever. It's just the matter of like, what is sophisticated enough today that we go, I don't know, this water's ionized. I guess maybe I should drink that.
The cycle is shorter, Matt. The cycle is shorter. They did cocaine in the 1800s for a couple decades, and they're like, maybe we should taper the way from that. Now it's like, well, Alestra or Fen-Phen in the early 2000s, like, hey, it's a weight loss drug, and then like, kills people. Oh, yeah, let's curb that one. And, you know, right now everyone's doing Ozempic, and in a couple months we're going to find out that it makes them shit fish right. scales or something. I don't know, but
Ben, you're being a little selective there. You're being a little selective in cherry picking. Those were thin, beautiful dead people.
Sorry, I was not painting the full picture.
I'd do at least half of them.
I'm just looking it up real quick, and there are no Google searches for that drug and people being buried in piano cases.
Very few. The piano cases have been piling up at the warehouse. It's actually caused quite an issue. It's a logistical nightmare.
The Virginia
nightmare.
Slim of caskets for those people.
Get the open casket funeral of your dreams by taking this drug. Yeah, who knows? Maybe in a couple months we can do an Ozempic postmortem. And look, this, as long as it keeps me in topics, I'm okay. Whatever we got to do, folks. So I'm sure you all have tuned in to the previous episodes. You kind of know how this goes. But going through medical history, kind of the crazy stories and anecdotes and remedies and things throughout history, we're going to review some. If we have time, I'm going to try to keep it to a reasonable length. But if we have time, I'm hoping to give out some home remedies for scrofula. I don't know. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. I know that, again, the inbox is just flooded with scrofula questions, so hopefully we can get to that. Now, this is a combination of shit I found on the internet and also things I'm finding in a book called Quackery, A Brief History of the Worst Ways to Cure Everything by Lydia Kang, a friend of the podcast. So we've reviewed a lot of these stories in previous episodes. From that book, there was a chapter on lobotomy.
Mm.
I'm just going to give you the cliff notes. Ain't good. there's nothing much more I want to say about lobotomy cures.
I've been advised wisely when in New York to not have a curious nose. I've been advised in San Francisco not to wear nice shoes. And I was advised not to learn anything about lobotomy as a child when reading about it in our history books. They're like, yeah, they'd go in through your nose with an iron spike. I was like, what? And they're like, just don't. Just don't.
Worse. No question.
Way worse than that.
Yeah.
What Rachel V. Mahoney, we haven't cited that in a while, but a guy I knew spent a day when he was working as an engineer just like fucking around on the internet, and he read all about lobotomies and how they did it and was fucking horrified. Years later, they did a dollop about it too, but it's a crazy situation. Crazy.
Yeah. One of the stories in this book was there was a one of the Kennedy daughters, which would be like JFK's sister. I don't know her name, but she had some like emotional issues. She had, you know, I don't know if it's like seizures or something going on, but they lobotomized the hell out of her, and she was like a vegetable for the rest of her life. But
I always love the idea. It's like, yeah. You know, well, we better lobotomize her. She wants her autonomy and sex.
So you mean,
so she's crazy.
They like cut parts of her brain off, and like then it didn't turn out well for her.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, it's one of those freak things, Grant. Like sometimes you think you could do everything right, and you take out a big old chunk of the brain, and it's like, I don't know what happened.
I get my hair cut every 4 weeks, and I'm right as rain.
That's part of your brain if you think about it.
It's right next to it.
Had part of your brain previously removed.
If you do think that way, you probably could invent lobotomy.
Yeah.
If that's as far as you're understanding it. Well, hair is clearly a part of the brain. Let's cut them open and scramble some of their brain.
Next to
it's on the top,
no different
isn't
than
it?
A haircut. No different than a haircut. As if we went in and scrambled some of your hair.
As if we gave you a haircut by going through your nose.
Went in through your nose and or eye and scrambled some of your hair.
Going from the bottom. Yes.
All right. Think about this. All right, you guys are such... Listen to this, smartass. So the idea that you could remove part of your brain and make someone act different, you think it's so stupid. All right, I could remove part of your haircut and make you act different. You have a rat tail and I cut it off. Ho, 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 ho. Where's your three-wheeler now? You probably don't even remember where you parked it.
You're not even a dirt bag anymore, are you?
Yeah, next thing you know,
you got dip all over your mouth. You don't even know how to do it right anymore. So, part of your brain. Fucking smartasses.
Well, let's move on to something more fun. Let's talk enemas. I don't think we've done enough butt stuff in our medical history here. So
there's a lot of neat stuff in there.
Done with
what's up there.
We've been covering fringe medicine.
What's up there?
From ancient times all the way up to modern times, enemas are a medical staple. If we go back to the court of Louis the 14th, according to this research, he enjoyed more than 2,000 enemas in his lifetime.
Oh, great. A lifetime. I enjoy 2,000 of them. Like, I enjoy a beer. I enjoy a few beers. I enjoy 2,000 beers. I mean, you know.
Right. But I think, what if there was a chart and he's like, well, 2,000 I liked, 6,000 I didn't care for. the first 2,000 were fine.
And then there was about 1,500 that were a wash.
Yeah. Well, they were all awash in some degree, but...
It's true. The first 2,000 were in irrigation.
So the thing about, like, royalty and royal courts, it's like, you know, you're all just trying to suck up to the king or queen or whatever, and it's all this, like, internal politics, and, like, things become fashionable, so, like, that's where all these crazy-ass trends, you know, powdered wigs and such. So apparently, enemas were extremely popular at his court. Some folks received them 3 times a day. And according, again, to this research, the Duchess of Burgundy was known to have a servant crawl under her skirt and administer an enema while she was in audience with the king. Just like chatting
oil change
out.
While you wait. Lift up Valvoline says you don't even have to get out of the car, baby.
Wait.
Oil change while you wait.
No need to get out of the car.
He comes out. He's like, the filter is looking really ugly under here. I don't know if you want to.
He's wiping his hands on a rag. You know, he's like, hey, I want to take a look at your air filter here.
He shows her the dipstick.
I legally have to tell you this.
It shouldn't have corn this high up on the,
just her underwear, but it's still, it's got leaves in it, you know?
Wait, and you're saying like she was like, while I'm eloquently discoursing, she's like, yeah, get in there and wash me out.
Yeah. Mm. Yep. Just lift up that hoop skirt and boy crawls under.
Why wasn't that woman running the country? Anyone that can hold together?
The late 1800s, which as we know, were just a real heyday of fucking quackery. All sorts of butt devices were on the market. So now let's fast forward, you know, we leave the court of Louis the 14th. Let's fast forward to like late 1800s America. Dr. Jameson selling his, quote, eager colon cleanser as well as a horseshoe-shaped, quote, internal fountain bath to drive away the pest house of absorbed poisons.
Pest house? If you've got like a wasp nest or you got squirrels or something, an enema is probably not going to do it. You've got bigger problems.
Yeah, if you've got a pest house.
If there's any.
Yeah.
When you learn that they, like, doctors didn't look at the vagina during birth because it was like, seemed rude. Like, and you're just like, if I can diagnose pest house up your butt from over here. No, like farting out wasps. What is going on?
If any part of you in or out or near could be described as a pest house, there's much bigger problems that squirting water everybody is not going to solve.
I'm not saying don't squirt the water. Still you need do it. A I mean, lot of cleaning. To, you need cleaning.
Yeah.
I'm not a religious man, but you might want to start praying.
Butthole, a pest house. Swipe left.
When the doctor in his white coat looks at his clipboard and you see him mouth the words pest house.
Yes, he's writing.
Pest house.
Oh, shit.
A pest house.
Also on the market, we have Dr. Young's, quote, self-retaining rectal dilators, which were short, phallus-shaped rods of increasing sizes touted to cure constipation and hemorrhoids.
Mm-hmm. That's what they were touted for.
Are you saying
they're for fun, but...
series of progressively larger butt plugs?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's for medical. It's medicine. It's medical.
Curing constipation with a crowbar. Listen, we just mechanically got to open this up. Here's the problem here.
But why put a cork in it? It's like... get wine out by putting this cork in the top of the bottle. Like,
then you shove a progressively larger cork in until the barrel either like...
until you're so happy that you don't care.
Yeah, it gets a little pleasure from the pain. And then that cork... but it's going to be a while before that you can fit a small cork back in there.
Look, Ben, a big enough cork is going to shatter the bottle. I mean, and the wine comes out.
That's
what you wanted, right?
Good news and bad news, we've saved the turd but lost your ass. I mean, that's not what you want. No.
You look at it and you're like, corn? Hey, this isn't mine. How dare you? How dare you? You've been running around behind my back.
Why, you filthy, no good, low down gutter pest house.
Yeah.
And our last marketable item here in the late 1800s, Dr. Charles Tyrell, who also opened the Hygienic Institute of New York City. His belief was, quote, there is only one cause for disease, and it is constipation. He had a product called the JBL Cascade. JBL stood for Joy, Beauty, Life. It was a large rubber bottle that held 5 quarts of liquid. The health seeker would impale himself or herself onto the nozzle, and your body weight would compress the reservoir of water and blast your innards clean. He recommended 4 cascades a week.
Whoa. Ooh, self-blasting wow. by...
Yeah. Again, purely from a mechanical perspective, that's very interesting and innovative. From the perspective of mechanically inventing such a device.
Because that comes into the unstoppable force, immovable object, you know what I mean? Because there's got to be somewhere for the water to go, but your body weight is pushing it down, which is pushing the water up. You're getting the cascade, but it's interesting.
Okay, it's like, imagine, like, you see, like, like those little like kids' toys are like a little inflatable bouncing ball, but he's like, you know what? And like screws a nipple into it. Now try it.
Yeah.
Joy, beauty, life.
Yeah.
The thing with enemas is that there are some medical uses where that makes sense. But what happens in a lot of these cases is like then the quacks kind of lean on it like, see, it's medical, and so now you should do a coffee enema, and you should do a cleanse, and you should detox with this enema. Like, still a quote, billion-dollar industry today of just like, well, I got a detox, a little squirt up there. But speaking of squirts, let's move on to hydropathy. So this is a little personal story about a guy named Vincenz Priesnitz. Horrible. He's Austrian. It's just a horrible name. It's not really pronounceable. I don't know why there has to be letters in that order.
Pest house of a name.
At the age of 18, he's driving a horse-drawn cart on his Austrian farm. Horse gets startled. He tries to calm it. It kicks out his front teeth, knocks him under the oncoming cart, which rolled over him. He passed out from the pain of multiple broken ribs and potential internal damage. And the surgeon who attended him said he was likely a goner, but at best, if he did survive, he was just going to be an invalid for life. Priesnitz wasn't convinced. He tossed aside his prescribed hot compress. He got up from his bed, set a wooden chair against his abdomen, took a deep breath, pushed really hard, and he literally set his ribs back in place, freeing up a terrible pressure on his internal organs.
He's kind of on the right path with that. We don't have anybody smart who listens to this, as far as I know, but I do know that it used to be if you broke ribs, they'd just have you sit in a bed, and now they, or like try to do some kind of a cast thing, but now they're like, you'll just get fucking pneumonia and it's not good. You need to be moving them. I know it sucks, but you got to move and take deep breaths and stuff. And that guy was like, fuck it, I'm just going to get up. And but I do like that the doctor's like, he's a fucking goner. He's going to be a gross invalid. And he's laying, I'm right here.
he can just stand up and walk around. Like what do like,
you put a wet towel on me. You have nothing more than that.
Well, I can't make it any wetter.
The doctor's like selling him to like a dog food like distributor, and the guy's like, "What if I just walked out of here?" Actually, turned out not dying.
No. I where are you going? I didn't say pest house.
All right, your horse gets spooked. You tried to calm it, but it kicked your teeth out. Where were you standing by the horse? And I know he was probably still in the way, but I wouldn't calm it by talking into its butthole. That's how I wouldn't try to calm down a horse right. To get kicked in the mouth afterwards.
Not only staring at its butthole, he was in between the horse and the cart, right? Because it's
yes.
still...
Well, yes, guys, what if he was trying to calm it down with an enema?
Yeah.
That's true. What if he had a hot tube of chamomile tea that he was shoving up that horse's rectum so stop knocking his teeth out?
If you can put 7 rocks in a horse's butt, it resets it, calms it down.
I've heard that.
Five, bam!
Old Austrian proverb, that.
Yep.
6.
Another possibly related proverb. The 7th stone is the hardest one. I don't know.
So Priznitz sets his ribs back in place. He's lying in bed. He recalls one afternoon on his farm where he observed a deer who had some wounds. Several times going to this cold spring to kind of like bathe in it, and then several times later in the day he came back and bathed in this cold spring. So applying the same logic, and logic is his memory of a deer, applying the same logic to his current situation, he began treating his injuries with a series of compresses made of linen towels sprayed with cold water, not those hot compresses, and he began drinking large amounts of cold water, regularly rotating out those cold compresses. And Priznitz had just stumbled upon what became known as, quote, the cold water cure, which would soon sweep the medical community of the early 19th century and make him a wealthy and famous man.
How?
Where's the money coming from?
I'm sorry, Matt. How?
They all read during the country, do cold water, and they're still like, they go to him and pay him money. So what was that then? Cold water.
Is he on an improvised stage? He's like, you know how sometimes you hurt? And the audience is like, yeah. And he's like, you know there's water that's very cold. Yeah. And he's like, you put it on there. And they're like, all right. And they just like empty their pockets for him.
Well, I'll tell you where to put it. If you give me money, they all give him money. Put it on the part that hurts.
The part that hurts.
That's the best part of this whole story. At the end of the day, like, imagine he does become popular throughout Europe. He opens a sanitarium, like royalty, nobility, Victorian area celebs like Charles Dickens praise hydropathy as the new miracle cure. And it, to a large extent, it works because drinking lots of water, cleaning your wounds regularly, changing your bandages and using, you know, ice or cold compression, those are good medical practices, right?
Absolutely. He just stumbled upon it from being dumb, but yeah, I put an ice pack on my knee today.
Now, Ben, how much do I got to pay to tell me how I could...
and where?
You owe the estate of Vincennes.
Yeah.
Yep.
How cold should the water be? How cold's the water here? Pretty cold.
Yeah, it's just so again, he just became rich and famous off this, and hydropathy was a craze. And the idea of like prescribing a certain number of like drink 8 glasses of water a day, for example, the idea of like prescribing that kind of traces back to this hydropathy craze. However, another thing that's still around today where I think I saw this on Reddit, like someone was like, oh, it was at a school. It was like, here is in the school cafeteria, here's water that you can buy. It's like canned water, you know, and it says like 600%. It was called oxygenated water, and it was like 600% higher concentration of oxygen than typical water. And, you know, like now water, it's like this one has electrolytes and vitamins and all these things. But like as far as oxygenating your water, like unless you are a fish, you are not going to be, and you have gills, like you're not going to be absorbing that oxygen from the water.
Right, right, right. You want to go, hey, okay, all right, let me tell you something. How do you think you get oxygen on a normal day? Through my lungs? All right, yeah, exactly. Yeah. You don't suffocate if you drink carbonated water, you fucking idiot.
Well, Ben, that's the thing. You go, so how much oxygen do you usually absorb through your water? And if they say right, any amount, you sell them some oxygen water. And if they go, oh, shit, you're right, and you teach them what a fool they've been.
The thing is, though, yeah, it's, point, there is Corey. This, that's like, you're looking at two bottles of water. One of them is just straight up bottle of water. The next one says it's got electrolytes or vitamins or something. You're just kind of like, well, I don't know, oxygen. Like, it's got to be better than the other one, right?
Honestly, the electrolytes thing is funny, and there are many people who should know a lot better, but you don't, on a normal day, you don't need a Gatorade to, like, help hydrate you, just drinking water. If you want to drink it because it tastes good, go for it, man, but, like, you just drinking water. You didn't, like, run out of electrolytes sitting at your desk or going to school or whatever it was, like, it's just not how that works, but...
Why we whatever, owe Prisnitz whatever. Money Sorry. To this day. He gets every bottle of water that's sold, the Prisnitz estate cashes a little check.
He gets 5 cents.
Okay, let's run through.
Mm-hmm. A little tiny check. It's not like, okay, so if you win something, you get the big check. Every time a bottle of water, there's a very tiny check that goes to him.
Really hard to endorse that one. Really hard.
It's hard as hell to endorse that thing. The bank hates like it, but yeah, he's got
one of those big like hobby magnifying glasses. He's just like got this little tiny.
Spent my first million on the magnifying glass.
Yeah. Well, they found an old warehouse full of unused Soviet code books, and so they're like, well, they got these tiny little things. Let's print some checks on them.
Yep. Yep.
All right. So I got two stories on surgery. There's a chapter on surgery in this book. Cliff Notes ain't good. It was also not good. I it's, for whatever reason, like I can read stories of people butt chugging mercury, but I'm like the horrible like amputation and stuff. I was just like just kind of skimming. But two things that stood out. One of them was a medieval illustration. So I don't know if these are like woodcuts or whatever the hell the typical illustration, but picture like. There's four column. They're in like a church or whatever the fuck. There's like four Gothic arches, but in underneath there, you see like, you know, all the sideways faces and the bad perspective of these people gathered around.
They had terrible necks back then.
The patient, speaking of terrible necks, the patient had an arrow through his neck.
Mm.
I don't know how the fuck he's still alive, how he has it. But these surgeons.
They're trying to amputate. They're like, all right, we got to go above the arrow.
And he's like, no, you can't amputate my head. We're not amputating the head, we're amputating the body. Oh, right. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, got it. They put an X on that side, Grant, you know, like this is the waist side of the woodcut. Yeah.
So one guy ready to shoot it out.
Yeah. Corey, on this,
shoot it out!
You can imagine how they consulted for this, but on this woodcut, the guy has an arrow stuck through his neck, and they are attaching a crossbow to the arrow, I swear to God, in their way to, like, what if we shoot it out?
This is like the door, slam the door, loose tooth move.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Into the outdoor, guys.
I remember when I was 6 years old, my mom got me with the old crossbow arrow trick.
Yep.
But also, what are the odds of having an arrow through your neck and you're not dead already.
That's why they made a woodcut of it, Matt.
Yeah, Matt, I was about to say, this is an era where it's like, I can make one woodcut a year, and it's like, well, guess what I saw?
Yeah.
You're doing the guy with the crossbow right. surgery.
Really? Because I ate a really interesting-looking bowl of porridge this morning and this afternoon as well.
Wait behind him. I want to hear about the porridge.
We'll put...
Yeah. When you mentioned the woodcut thing, I was just... Okay, all of these words have an extra E at the end, but the bad perspective... And there's a lady sitting there, and there's two guys with one of those, like, wood saws, but, you know, there's, like, one guy on either end. And it just says in the caption, she has shown lust. But, like, there's an extra E on the shown and lust, but they just need to saw her in half for some reason now. We're trying to see if that'll fix it.
It's the punishment. It's the punishment and the cure.
You're right to do this to me.
She is at least cooking or nursing a baby while they do it.
Yeah, for sure.
Cooking a baby, perhaps. All right, well, there's some other stories about how, like, surgery back, it was like, how quickly could you amputate? Like, 3 minutes, time me, and these surgeons in their surgical theaters or whatever those were.
They got
the
hot saw. The lumberjack challenge. They got the hot saw.
They got the hot scalpel.
I gotta make two cuts.
Hands off. I gotta make two cuts. One on each arm.
And it's the same guy. He's like, "Come on, man, just take my whole leg off." They're like, "Look, we gotta take it up to the knee." But in the meantime, we're gonna see how fast these guys can get it. And they just start at the ankle, like down up.
The lumberjack
the next
challenge.
Guy. It's down up. The next guy.
And those are the two cuts: below the knee and above the knee.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Oh my god. The one story, and this, I'm not saying it's for sure true, but I found this in multiple places, and maybe all those multiple places were referencing each other. But I did find this in multiple places. So this guy who's like, "Tie me," you know, I'm the fastest surgeon in the West.
Mm-hmm.
Once, while operating on a patient. This is for an amputation. It's supposed to be 3 minutes. I think he said he could do it in 2.5 minutes. But he's slicing. He cuts through the coat of an observer who's like trying to look over his shoulder. That person faints. He accidentally cuts off the fingers of an operating assistant, all just to try to amputate on this patient. The patient dies. The assistant died from gangrene from the wound. And again, according to multiple sources, the observer who fainted died of shock. So this in this one surgery, the guy had a 300% mortality rate.
Now, that is a slugging percentage right there. That's Babe Ruth of the operating room. He pointed his scalpel to the bleachers. He promised the little boy he'd murder three people today for him.
Murder three people for me, doctor.
I can do two, but three. Oh, my God.
When you murder three people, the patient and your two assistants, you're like, so I just wash up and leave?
Job well done.
And then come in the next day and be like, what is all this?
No. Who murdered these three people? I mean, what happened?
I was making fun of the speed thing before, but I gave it a little bit more thought. If someone... sans anesthesia, or I get to drink whiskey as my anesthesia, or it's the choice of bite on wood or bite on leather, and they're going to saw my leg off, and one guy's like, look, I can saw through that in 2 minutes, and the other guy's like, I take my time and do it in 10 minutes. I'm like, the three-minute guy.
Yeah, you do. Take the two-minute guy, yeah.
Who is sawing through my leg? Yeah, you know what? Faster the better.
In the 19th century, sawing through a major limb, precision not super important. Speed, much more important.
100%. That's it. That's exactly it. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to knock off for lunch. Keep this tight.
Well, I don't think we're going to be able to get to Scrofula, but let's, you know,
that's really
maybe that's a future
my ass
episode.
Back. Please give me something.
Let's wrap this up. I want to do maybe, we'll do this kind of like a quiz style for the group here. So I have a number of remedies, cures, products that were sold to enhance your manhood. So this could be anything manliness. This could be, you know, pills that make you feel stronger. It could be things that make your dick harder. You know, things that build muscle, all sorts of things that attempt to solve the problem of a slump in your manliness. I'll give you the name of the device. You tell me what it does. These are real devices. I'll see if you get it right, you get a point. If you don't get it right, I'll just have to tell you what it really did. So let's start with the Stevenson spermatic truss.
Did it gradually open up Uranus? That might be my joke answer for all of these.
Feels like it's I bet it functions as and looks like the old timey like three pieces of wood that you'd see holding up a mine shaft, but to open up your urethra. It's just like it's just a makeshift way of getting your urethra nice and open.
All right, we got butt opener, we got a urethra opener.
I say it is just a rod that you tie your penis to make it
this
seem
one
hard.
The Stevenson spermatic truss arrived on the scene in 1876, ready to help curb the masturbatory tendencies of men by providing a cumbersome and inconvenient way to tie your penis to your leg.
Closest, but wrong idea.
Apparently the first draft of the device wasn't quite effective as later versions included little spikes that would bite into your penis should the misfortune of becoming aroused.
So you're saying the non-spiked version, a guy would just be like wiggling his leg?
Yeah. Doing a
He's
real
jacking
over
his
there.
Whole leg off. Yes, Corey.
Yeah. What's with the jodpers?
Okay, the Stringer self-treating device.
Self-treating device? Something with a butt. It's got to be, right. Have something to do with the butt.
Okay,
but I'm guessing it goes inside it.
I'm going to guess it vibrates in the butt.
I think this is the mechanism of a gumball machine, but on your butt. So you have to put in a quarter and turn a crank to get a turd out.
Nice. Nice and convenient.
This one...
Make it a little scratch, too.
If I go to the judges, you're probably all right. So... The Stringer self-treating device combined every possible method of keeping the penis erect into one package. It was a, quote, 4-in-1 vacuum, moist heat, vibration, and electricity cure. It combined hot water, an induction coil, an electric current, a vacuum, and an electrode that could be coated with Vaseline and inserted a few inches into the rectum for the added benefit of a prostate massage. It was marketed as, quote, the most wonderful discovery since the world began.
Whoa! That's
humble. That is a
what a
humble
claim.
Tagline, but all right. Since you know the what? World began.
There's at least, and you know there's more than one, but there was at least one adherent to this Stevenson device who's just like, you guys want to hear about the most wonderful device created since creation of man? Like, you know, he would lead into conversations. Why? What are you talking about? Like,
talking about lightning bolts in my fucking dick.
when I say heated induction coil.
Hell yeah.
That's not just vibrating electricity up here.
Try and name a better band. All right, just a few more. How about the Bowen device?
This vibrated the curly ends of your mustache to make you more attractive to the opposite sex.
I think it curled your mustache. I don't think it vibrated. I think it curled it for you. Save hours of you know, tedious curling.
I think you guys are off. I think it either injected or pumped saline in or out of the testicles.
Corey's
did probably both.
Corey's closest. It is for your dick. So this was a again an anti-masturbatory device. It was a it's a little cap that you put on the tip of your dick. With chains that are tied to your pubic hairs, so as you got erect, it would pull and tug on your pubic hairs.
Do you just imagine that these guys are like, after a year of using this device, I'm aroused by having my pubic hair turned out?
Yeah.
I've got a Pavlovian response. Yeah.
Honey, you're going to need to put on a series of spiked thimbles and poke and prod me. It's the only way we will procreate.
Oops, I got some hair caught in the zipper again.
Oops. Thank God.
How about the thermalade?
Well, if it's not warming the anus, I'm not really sure what aid you could add.
What are we here for?
Right. Matt, I'm going to say if it includes an induction coil, it's 100% going in the ass.
I think it heated a woman's breast to stimulate fertility.
I'm close to Grant.
Science. Yes.
I think it is a warm thing that stimulates hair growth. So it prevents hair loss. Like you put it on your bald head.
You, okay. put it on your ravaged pubic area after the previous devices ripped it all out.
Yeah.
By the way, I love how so many of these are like, this one prevents masturbation, this one masturbates you.
Yeah, we went back and forth.
Literally.
Like, bad, good.
One
bad.
Hand washes the other.
Big swings.
You're wearing both of them at the same time. Just trying to cover all my bases.
I think
cover your bases.
Corey pretty much nailed this one. The Electrothermal Company of Ohio manufactured a prostate gland warmer called the Thermalade, which ran an electric current regulated by a light bulb through its hard rubber exterior in an effort to stimulate the abdominal brain. So you've got this thing stuck up your butt, but there's also a light bulb factor to show that it's working. I like
Uncle
to, like,
Fester.
Oh, hey, honey, I saw you had the light on. I came to, what's going on?
Hey, do you have to do your therapy tonight? Because I was going to stay up and read. Want to hang out?
This one's pretty obvious. The Recto-Rooter. Or sorry. The Recto-Rotor.
I'm going to go with hair loss.
I'm gonna say anus removal.
I think it makes your intestines run counterclockwise because that's the way the Lord intended. Otherwise, you could end up left-handed or gay.
It depends what if you're in the northern or southern hemisphere, Grant.
Well, yeah, but this is the northern hemisphere. Yeah, we're not talking about the Australian rectorotor.
This device was inserted into the rectum where it would lubricate the prostate and colon and, quote, massage the muscles of the rectal region. The ads assured consumers that it could be used by the patient himself in the privacy of their own home.
Yeah.
Which I like is like...
privacy is underlined.
Oh, thank God I don't have to do this out in public. Yeah. Like, you're going to have to set this up in the park. Like, it's a...
it's a warm vibrating thing in your butthole that feels good. It's like, yeah, privacy. I want privacy when I put a warm vibrating thing in my butthole to make me feel good. I don't want a public thing. Don't worry, it can be used in public. Like, no, that's not really what I don't want to be marching down the town square.
Privacy is key. I'm not an aristocracy in the French court. I can't just do this while I'm
just standing while I'm talking to the king.
Do this
before you talk to the king.
Gross. Mm-hmm.
And there's like a starburst that says, even the king won't know on the ad.
here's a very upsetting tagline. It says the size of the rotor was advertised, quote, large enough to be efficient, small enough for anyone more than 15 years old. What does that mean? Like,
because he sells a Roto Junior.
The Junior rotor didn't sell very well.
Fat dick up there. I mean, it's something like that, which is, that's the weird part. But clearly, it's like you want a little bite, you want to feel it, but you don't want to have to be a pro to get on that thing.
You want it to have your attention.
It's the precursor to, you know, strong enough for a man, but, you know, sensitive enough for a woman. It's the same.
Yeah, exactly.
It's true.
Exactly.
All right, last one. GLH.
GLH.
Good luck, have fun. Good luck. Good Lord. Here's a fist.
Well, Ben, you mentioned this one several times. This is a cure for baldness that we might recall from infomercials. I think it's a Popeil. Great looking hair. It's a spray on hair.
Interesting.
That
you put up your anus?
That you put up your butt. That you put up your butt. I don't know if you guys remember those infomercials. It's a can.
GLH
of spray
is the 1990s spray on hair thing.
It's like the wide spray version of like a Spider-Man silly string foam, but hair.
Yeah, I think it's just like it spray paints your scalp and then your hair teases out and then like people can't see or they don't know the difference. All I know is that Mr. H, my math teacher, he was like, Siefker, blah, blah, blah. What'd you do your hair with a fork this morning? And I said, what'd you do yours with the spray can? And then instantly went, ah, he could crush me. And I should not have said that. But it shut him up anyway. And he did not make fun of me anymore.
I always thought of those commercials, like the guy like sprays it on. He's like, no one can tell. And it's like, what smells like spray paint? What reeks of chlorofluorocarbons?
But he like tags his own, the back of his head, and it looks like some sick graph, like a throw up on a side of a boxcar or something like that.
On the side of a boxcar, you just see haircuts. You just see people spray painting haircuts on the side of train cars.
Yeah. Yep. GLH, that's what that was called. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's modern enough to go like, holy shit, picture dudes, sad dudes walking around with fucking spray paint on their bald spots, hoping it doesn't rain.
I say just let it go. But
yes, sir.
To each his own.
Well, Little Camp Travis, we're at time. We got to get out of here. I got patients in the waiting room with scrofula, and I've got to attend to them. But maybe I don't know if we can afford the insurance, but we'll see if we'll return to this topic someday. You let us know. Email us with, tell us the things you've been sticking up your butt most recently. What's worked, what hasn't. Email us at freelegaladvicepodcast@gmail.com.
And listeners, if you know who keeps asking Matt to do quackery episodes, DM me on Instagram and we will harass them until they stop. My God. You can find us on Instagram at Free Legal Advice Podcast.
And like Grant always says, follow us on Threads. We're this week, we're going to be sticking it to that fucking king. We're just doing everything out in the comments. We're sticking everything up our butt in the commons, right in front of God and the king himself. We're on Threads at Free Legal Advice Podcast.
Yeah, and if you like the show, come on over this weekend. We're gonna be swimming in the flooded above ground inbox. Bring over a side, and we're just gonna just hang out and barbecue and listen to some music and just swim through all this scrofula content.
Classic.
A classic bit.
Episode 220.
I don't want to have to think too much about this car. I don't want to have to put a lot of money into this car. Mm-hmm. Will it be safe, reliable, and also get me a lot of pussy?
Yeah. Yeah. Key factors. Grant, since Matt already covered getting a trim machine, a quim harvester, what?
Call it the Quim Reaper.
Reaper, I missed that one. Even let's just do the Trim Reaper. Yeah, that's great.
Okay.
the Trim Reaper. It's time for a beer run. Ow, ow, ow.
I'm so disappointed we have to talk about cars now. God damn it.
Free legal advice. Look, you know, we also just gave the best car name ever out for free. One of you assholes had better call... Call your car the Trim Reaper and tell us. It's too fucking cool. I fucking love it. So, Grant, how do you decide which car to buy?
I go biggest cup holder first, second, and third.
You want to put a bowl of chili in that thing.
I need to be able to sit in that sumbitch. That cup holder better have seatbelts.
Take a bath in this thing.
Wow.
And then I buy the car with the biggest one. So there you go.
Okay.
Turn internet over.